Could The Changeling, starring Lakeith Stanfield, be one of TV's greats? Also, has Apple TV Plus taken the throne from HBO? Lastly, some laughs and recaps of this week's episode of The Challenge USA.
An Alabama Tape Projection.
Hello, thanks for tuning in, Taking It Down, the TV and streaming podcast from the Alabama Take, where we prompt conversations for thoughtful, busy TV devotees, all from us, your irreverent outsiders. I'm Blaine Duncan. I'm the editor-in-chief of the Alabama Take. I always could not help dissecting why I like what I like and why I dislike what I dislike when it comes to TV, movies, and more. I have an English degree and a side hustle as an English teacher, so I'll try my best to offer insight that you can use for conversation with others or even with us or even just to think about. Luckily, my ideas aren't the only set of viewpoints on this podcast each week, as with me are the other hosts, Adam Morrow's an erudite traveling and studio musician with a penchant for fine literature. Donovan Reinwald is a media specialist with encyclopedic knowledge on film, television, and more. And Natalie Morrow, she's the first person to ask about fantasy, sci-fi, comics, trashy reality TV, and she's a huge Beyonce fan. From us, you'll get the obvious, but you'll get the obscure. We are here for the TV and streaming obsessed who are just too busy for anything more than the show or movie itself. We'll give the outside of Hollywood analysis, and like a lot of the Alabama Tape productions, it'll come with zero Southern stereotype. Hey, here we are, people. It's me, it's Adam, it's Natalie, it's Donovan, and we've been having a good time. Let me tell you something. The bonus YouTube is turning into something this week, especially. You go in there and you can skim through some parts. You can hear medical advice.
Natalie looks horrified already.
Natalie's always horrified by some.
She is, but
most of the time.
We're going to talk two things, mainly. We're going to do some brief talk, general discussion, no spoilers about The Changeling from Apple TV. We'll take a quick little break, and then we'll talk about The Challenge, which I didn't see us doing this weekly, but I really wanted to talk about it. So let's do that. Again, the YouTube bonus is a video. It's video only, but, I mean, you could play it in the background. What do we talk about this week? Talk about Twitter a lot, the Twitter discourse. There's a couple of Twitter things happening. Anyway, go listen to it. You can jam that. Or audio only. That's it now. That's what you're doing now. So The Changeling from Apple TV. We're going to get probably more into this. It's quite possible. Next week, we're going to break it down in like more analytical form. I'm going to put a lot of my ideas to the side about that. It's an Apple TV production. They dropped three episodes. I've watched one, which is why we're pumping the brakes on any spoiler stuff. But it's from author Victor. Help me out, Donovan. Victor,
I never heard anyone say it out loud. I've always said Laval.
Laval. Laval. Yeah. Both of those make sense to me. Author Victor Laval's book is where the show stems. Book by the same name, The Changeling. It's not to be confused by the 2008-ish.
Oh, the Angelina Jolie one.
Yeah. Did you ever see it?
That was all right. Wasn't that Clint Eastwood?
You are exactly right.
Nuts? Okay. It's fine. She's fine. It's fine.
It's really interesting.
I'll take a Perry Mason any day. Thanks.
It's got a Perry Mason vibe.
Yeah, it totally does.
Kind of Perry Mason, probably season one ripped from that a little. Anyway, I always thought it that they were one and the same. When I heard Apple was producing a version of The Changeling, I assumed, oh, they're going to expand that movie, maybe? I guess they could do that. That would be interesting. You guys might be like me. You can agree or no. I kind of have trust with Apple TV now.
I don't think I've watched enough.
Really?
I've watched Severance. The person I was bumming it off of doesn't have it anymore, so I haven't watched any recent stuff.
You can bum it off me.
Okay. Say, I liked Severance a lot. Ted Lasso, season one, yes, very much so. Have I watched anything of it?
Shrinking?
I don't think I watched that one.
Didn't watch Shrinking? Silo? We were fans.
Yeah, I hadn't seen
it. Yeah.
Did you finish Silo, Adam and Natalie?
We didn't totally finish it. We've been slowly...
That's pretty good.
That's like, because there's been so much going on, that's like our, oh, we really do have a quiet weeknight.
I understand.
Going on here. We'll watch Silo. I agree, though. I mean, even Silo, I don't like, it's not going to be in like a year-end list for me if I had to make one, but it is of a quality that I think is higher than what the other streaming services are consistently hitting.
Yeah. The thing I like about Apple, it's well done, it's well produced, sets look good, things like that, but they're pumping the money in there, but they're not doing it like a Netflix or even an HBO these days, where it's you get a new show every week. Like, they give you time to consume a pretty decent show or two, and then they roll out another decent show or two.
I mean, Netflix at this point is just like a blitzkrieg of...
It's ridiculous.
Like, let's throw everything at the wall and hope that something sticks, which is frustrating. And HBO moving that way is...
sad.
You know, last week y'all said something about, or maybe the week before, is this an HBO or an HBO Max production? And it just like bummed me out that, I mean, that HBO was the Apple TV so long. Mm-hmm.
They got a cool new boss and he loves reality TV. What could go wrong?
Even as much as Natalie likes reality TV, and I sometimes I don't mind it.
It's like a little no weird, one was asking right? for that in Max, and they took out not so in much Max. Stuff. It's just like, I don't need your HGTV shows, David. I don't know if he actually does HGTV.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what Discovery owns. I don't care.
Blackbird was on Apple TV Plus from last year, and it made my list. It was super good. Super good. The problem with Jon Stewart, I watch it off of Apple TV. I think that's pretty decent. I'm just skimming through what I have here. For All of Mankind, it's supposed to be good. I've never had the chance to watch it.
I'm intrigued by the premise.
Yeah, me too.
For that one. And I liked Battlestar Galactica. I thought that was pretty good.
It doesn't...
We know.
Oh, do we? I didn't. I'm intrigued by... I like that Apple TV Plus doesn't seem to go lowbrow, even with their comedies. It's like they're putting in the effort.
Yeah. And even with like Shrinking or something like that, you know, that could be like a network show. Kind of the bones of it are there, but it doesn't, like you're saying, it doesn't go lowest common denominator with all the jokes or with the plot lines or whatever. And it keeps it, the folks who, I can't believe I'm blanking on his name, Scrubs.
Oh, Bill Lawrence.
Bill Lawrence, you know, obviously can work in conventional television mediums, but giving folks like that kind of a longer leash to do what they want to do, it's good. It's good stuff.
I agree.
I have good news for you, though, Blaine.
Mm-hmm.
Writers are on strike. Actors are on strike. We might get a lot of time to digest some shows from HBO.
This is true, or Apple, or whatever, because it's the deluge is going to turn into a trickle sooner than later.
I'll tell you one thing that's been weird is being online and realizing that some of the people in anonymous environments, or, you know, at least you don't know, there's no human attached to the name that you're seeing, even if it's their real name, like Twitter or Reddit or whatever. People not remembering the writer's strike from 15 years ago, you know, like when people say like, oh, this is a bad day for my brain. The hero show with heroes.
Heroes, yeah.
People are What's like,
it called? Heroes.
What was that show called with all heroes, the heroes right? in it?
I said hero, at least. Hero Squad. heroes. See, it's sharp as a tack when it comes to Arrested Development.
It's right there.
That's what takes up all your brain space, is all these Arrested Development bits and quotes.
But like people were watching that show or like Friday Night Lights and saying like, what? Why is there this like... line in the sand that there's a before and after of these shows. Like, well, because the writer's strike. How do you not know? And how do people maybe are not prepared for what it'll mean this time?
It made a couple of seasons of shows shorter, right? Didn't Breaking Bad have a shorter season one of those years?
The Office mm-hmm. did too. They cut their episodes short. Maybe did it affect Mad Men?
I think it affected everything. Any all the
episode-wise, no.
Yeah, because it was on the air.
Didn't affect Mad Men as far as the number of episodes they did, but it put it on a hiatus.
Okay, that was
crazy.
Which is why Bobby probably changed actors 15 times.
That's probably what they told the kid.
He was off track, too.
He got too old. All right, Victor, which is all to say, we're going to very briefly discuss this book. Turned into a show, The Changelings, not the one from Clint Eastwood and Angelina Jolie. Victor Laval?
Sounds right to me.
Okay. I'm Say sorry it with confidence. If I didn't so matter. I do this all the time in the classroom. I'm like, so-and-so, Ernest and always do a question mark.
Hemingway?
William Faulkner.
I feel like I'm in the Black Lodge right now. Black Lodge AP Lit. William Faulkner.
That's good stuff. So he wrote 2023 this year, Lone Women. Have you seen that one, Donovan?
Yeah, it's good. It's like
you've read it?
Yeah, I bought it for my my library bought it.
Oh, I didn't know you've read it. I read it like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, it's good, right?
Yeah, it's so good.
Like horror western.
Yeah,
almost very, very thoughtful.
Agreed. Too. Yes,
but so, you know, quick moving and just really
very,
you know, good book.
Yeah, read Lone Women if you have it. It's a new book, one of the new books I can recommend. Sometimes they're hit or miss, and it's from the same author. This show, The Changeling, stars Lakeith Stanfield, and that guy is a treasure.
That makes me like it.
Oh, exactly. He's such a joy to see on the screen. I always love seeing him in anything. This guy may be, in 10 years, if you tell me, Lakeith Stanfield's one of our greatest actors, that won't surprise me. He can do serious.
He can do anything.
He can do oddball, like scary, weird oddball, like in Atlanta, or he can do just a little quirk here and there in this show is what he's doing. And he's a very normal guy in the show, but he's got a quirk or two. It's not bad. And I'll go ahead and give you guys this. It's not a spoiler by any means, but don't you just love a main character who reads a lot?
Hate him. Nerds.
What you reading for?
Well, he reads a lot. He's a character. And the opening scene is he's in a library and he gets introduced to this librarian lady, and that's kind of your basis. These two get to know one another and start dating, and that's kind of your, I won't say much more because there's some reveals. I didn't really know anything other than that they are together at some point. There's some mental engagement you have to do with this show to keep track of timelines and characters, but I found it so entertaining. I was like, oh, we're here. Oh, now we're present day. Oh, we're only 10 years ago. It's very obvious. They don't hold your hand, but they point you in the right direction, so to speak. And it's got this strange tone. The tone, everything that's happening is happening in a very normal New York, a very everyday New York City, Queens to be exact. But you got this vibe that anything could happen next. Their first date, the librarian and Lakeith Stanfield's lover of reading character, was quirky plus one. It was, okay, they're on a date. This is realistic. What they're saying feels normal. But you also had this feeling like one of them's about to say something really, really weird. I'll leave it at that. I enjoyed the first episode. I really wish I would have had time. I would have hit go on the second episode had it not been a little late. We'll probably dissect this one a little. We might analyze this one a little next week. Listeners, if you're in, if that sounds like it's up your alley, then let's just all hope it doesn't fall apart by episode 2 or 3, because sometimes that happens, right? All right, let's take a little bit of a break. And on the flip, we're going to talk, we got to talk about the Challenge USA. I know we've been talking about it a lot lately. Let's just do it, though.
Join hosts TD and Greg every other Monday as they recap and break down the biggest news in college sports and beyond. Find it by searching Taken On Sports, minus the G, or head directly to the Alabama Take to stream it every other Monday.
The Challenge USA on CBS. Do, 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 do. All right, I got to get on to my CBS rep. I hope he's watching. I hope he or she's watching. Listen to me. I'm looking at the camera. You cannot switch to one a week after going 2 a week without notifying someone.
Without notifying someone's you me. Specifically.
Me.
Just you.
I was getting twice a week fix, and now you're going to send me into low-key withdrawals. Speaking of propanol. Jesus. I was texting furiously with Adam and Natalie, like, where's the challenge? Why is it not on? Do they air it simultaneously? No, they don't even do that. You have to wait until it's off of CBS. Which, by the way, I have DirecTV streaming. My CBS isn't even on. There's a contract dispute. I can't even watch it if I wanted to watch it live.
Where do you access it from?
Paramount Plus.
I mean, the challenge, I mean.
Paramount Plus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They put it there after it airs. They don't do a max thing where it's simultaneous.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's frustrating.
Okay.
So I was there Sunday night, hitting refresh. Like, why? What the fuck did I do?
Mashing that button.
Just mashing it.
Scrolling down.
Let's talk about the Challenge USA. The most recent episode's Thursday. They are now solely airing on Thursday per Natalie and CBS.
I don't want this responsibility of...
I'm holding you accountable for not telling me this.
I'm fine with it.
How did you figure it out? Was there like a commercial or something?
It just wasn't on.
I just did the math. I used logic.
There was something said.
It's called deduction.
Like at the end of the episode previous to it switching to Thursdays, where like a voiceover said something like, "The Challenge Thursday nights on CBS," something like that. Because when you texted, I was like, "Oh, I remember them saying something like that."
Oh, I didn't catch it. Obviously,
I mean it was pretty subtle.
So the show itself, they go from individual. They quit the teams. No more blue, green, and red teams. But this daily challenge where they were to dive into the waters, sink deep and look at the puzzle board, the word board, come back up, figure out what the theme of it was, all that. If you watched it, you know. They were still kind of working as teams, though, because they did it in heats of four. And those four people usually kind of work together. If you'll figure it out and tell me, we'll do it that way. Didn't you see that kind of as like, oh, well, it's not quite individual yet.
Well, I mean, they never, it seems like, I don't know, maybe, but Tori and Wes showed them what's what. Like, we can talk this team game all we want, but when it comes down to it, this is an individual game. And if you haven't realized that yet, then tough.
Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy that part? Were you like, yeah, do that?
Yeah.
So was I. I messaged you guys and I was like, okay, didn't want to talk about challenge this week or was going to put it to the side for now, but I got to. And Adam responds, why? Why we got to talk about it?
What I meant by that was sometimes things happen on that show where it's like, I have to talk about this with somebody right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like a good episode, but nothing stuck out to me as must chat, I didn't think.
Really?
Because usually the like cliffhangers or backstabs or things like that are kind of what elicit that response. And this was just like a all-around solid episode to me.
Yeah, maybe it was the all-around good episode feeling of it that made me say that. But I just had opinion after opinion as the show was going. First of all, Sebastian, I haven't gotten around to him. He bores me. How's he around so late in the game?
Is he the one that's like flirting with Tori?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
He's got such a... Tyler also bores me. He's the hat with hair that can talk.
Yes.
Sebastian gives me like Tim Tebow vibes, or I'm trying to put my finger on why he's so...
Maybe like Sebastian the Ibis?
Sebastian the what?
Is he like the Miami mascot in his name, Sebastian?
Is that his name?
I always think of that whenever he's on screen.
I always think of Donovan's cat, Sebastian.
He sucks.
Well, this guy does too.
He's just boring, though.
He's boring. He's like he's there just to pick up a chick or something. Like, I'm putting what I would think he would say. What do you think, Natalie? I mean, Natalie, you're our biggest challenge go-to. You're our challenge, I don't know, expert almost. What do you think about him?
I mean, he obviously isn't stupid. I mean, hook up with a challenge vet and you're going to stick around for a little while.
She didn't help him in the daily.
Were they in the same heat?
That's a good question. Were they?
I think so. Because I remember thinking it was really funny.
Oh, you're right.
Because she took a very... When she went for the last Tori, went for the last one with the flashlight, her jump off that little cliff made me laugh because they were like, what is it? And she was like, see ya.
Oh, yeah.
And just kind of...
But I mean, that's Tori.
Like a funny little jump.
That's Tori finally being a smart challenger as somebody with a lot of history of on-screen hookups. she's finally figuring out I'm number one in this and I'm going to take care of myself. And maybe she knows it's better to keep Wes happy than it is old boy.
Another smart move was, I'm not sure if he meant it this way, but it worked perfectly, was bananas. He went down to the bottom of the board. The theme of the board, Donovan, you'll love, was cats. So you went back to your lock, and it spells cats, and that's what unlocks your, you know, you used your little rotating dial there with the word. Bananas goes down into the deep water, and he sees the word pause, P-A-W-S. So he dives back up, starts swimming back to the cliff, and he yells back to them, it's pause, right? And so they're all thinking pause, like play, pause. Uh-huh. So what a brilliant move, because they go back and they're like trying to put in game or play. Just brilliant. Because the
ability
off.
To do that after like repeatedly diving underwater
that.
In very cold water and coming up and then being like, can you give us a hint? And he thought of that. That is a special, unique kind of genius.
Or it's just really lucky that it worked that out too. For him. Because I think he came up saying, I saw one word and it was pause.
That's what I was wondering. Is it one? Is it the other? Or is it fortuitous?
Didn't he say
or?
He saw some other words? He only saw the one?
Maybe he saw like panther or something.
I think he saw panther. But...
Yes, he did. He saw panther and paws and he knew immediately it was cats, but he only gave them paws. Good.
Yeah, it's great.
Every season there are people who are saying, so-and-so's a snake. And I'm curious if you guys think that these people being labeled as snakes are as deceitful as they let on, like Wes.
There's a season, or maybe multiple seasons, where Banana says, well, what his strategy is, he makes a lot of promises to everybody in the house, or to a lot of people in the house. And then at the end, you're going to hurt somebody, right? And that it devalues the whole alliance by playing that way. Whereas Bananas we haven't really seen him talk game with anybody outside the challenge vets until Michaela this week.
That's right.
So now he's like kind of circling the wagons late in the game and putting his roster together, as he said. It seems pretty rare that people are just like straight up snaky.
Yeah, they get labeled. I think that's a mislabel.
The one chick seems she could be a snake.
Which one?
What's the survivor girl?
Michelle.
Michelle just like keeps hanging around with no votes ever.
Yeah.
And kind of like, but talking a lot to a lot of different people. It's not just like she's like quietly flying through. Mm-hmm. She's got to be lying left and right.
I agree with that. Bananas has the good quote this week that he stabs people in the chest and not in the back. And that seems accurate to me.
Tell that to Sarah.
How long ago was that?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think she would disagree.
Yeah, completely. And how long ago was it? Do you hold that against him? Is that still part of his game? Major,
I mean, it's
right?
His most, like, he would say, I'm most proud of that moment, probably. Like, that's what set off his whole new career trajectory, mm-hmm. was the attention he got around that move.
So was that about 2017? Has it been about 5 years ago?
Yeah, probably 2016, okay. Maybe.
Interesting. Yeah, so that's still a part of his package, for sure. Fessy and Josh want to play both sides of the ball more than Deion Sanders. Those guys are like, are we Survivor? Big Brother this week, or are we Challenge Vets? They need to figure it out, because that's going to come back and hopefully bite them.
We'll see.
When Sebastian and Tori decide to stay in for a confessional date, though, I knew Sebastian would be a target for elimination, and deservedly so. Once that, as soon as you see them sit down in front of the confessional camera, I'm like, wait, they're not at the bar with everyone? I was like, oh, they're going to get that guy.
Who knew this was an option?
I always wonder, what about those people who don't drink? I guess they just go to the bar and get a water or a Red Bull or something.
I don't think Fessy drinks, right?
That's a good question, and he may not. So he may be having a water or seltzer or something.
I mean, I'm surprised CT isn't, like, in bed at 8:30 when everybody else goes to the bar
Popping an Ambien at 7:45 and just being like... we shit on Fessy. Again, deservedly so. I'll use that phrase again. Did he make a really good observation this game?
When he talked about Tori and Banana's outfits?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that was pretty
good. I was like, oh, wow, he gave a good confessional. He just
what
said something kind of witty.
What was his confessional?
That Bananas and Tori had screwed over kind of everyone, and so they matched their clothes to look like a couple. And he said it so much better than I just did.
It was pretty funny. I remember making it laugh.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of witty. It was not only witty, but it was also like pointing out something that you as a viewer need to be pointed out. To me, that's what confessionals, the best ones, do. They're kind of funny, if not flat out funny. And they point out something to you that maybe you are in too big of a hurry to catch or something. And I thought, wow, he actually did that. First, and I swear to God, that's the first time he's ever done that.
I really need to know what he said now.
Man, I should have written it. It was something about their apparel, how they were matching. And yeah. I was just...
Did y'all not notice that they were matching?
No, I noticed, but he like put a little analysis to it, and I thought, oh, that's kind of witty.
It was funny analysis.
Mm-hmm. How do they get so matched up with their clothing? Because, you know, you pack, obviously, at your own home, and then you come and you're like, oh, you get the same coat. How does that happen?
I love that they remember when they all the like the spy trilogy or whatever, they told them to bring like spy apparel.
Oh, did they?
So like you had like
black turtlenecks with gold chains on.
Yeah.
Now I have the opinion of Wes that he can be a pain, but he's a pain in the way I want him on the show constantly. He's especially a pain in a veterans only game, but his biting vote of Cassidy with just putting the one ball in the hopper was so nice, especially how he started giggling about it.
It was funny.
I was like, okay, if you're going to have Wes, then that's the Wes you want on TV.
I just really like that Cassidy thinks that like Wes has singled her out as like the one to take down, when really that all started when his team kind of tricked him into voting for her. And then he was like, well, I got to keep voting for her. Like, this was never a choice that Wes actually made. This was not a strategic choice in the beginning. But Cassidy's like, oh, I guess it's an honor that he's targeting me. He's like, he's not. That's not what's happening.
He's not. That's what I was going to say, is it's 100% them knowing how to burn votes.
Yeah.
Yes. But he did so in such a comedic way, I thought. Especially in this confessional.
Absolutely.
Was this the most frustrating elimination ever? To watch or to perform or to try?
There have been worse, but this was like a classic, like throwback challenge.
It was tough.
I think there have been ones that are hold your hand above your head kind of stuff that seem terrible, but there were moments where I was thinking, like, did anybody in production actually do this successfully?
I wondered the same
thing. Can it even be done?
I wondered the same thing. I thought they were going to be there until they had to call it in some fashion, or they had to, or like the sun was going to come up or something.
Yeah, totally.
Wow. And it was frustrating to watch in not necessarily in a bad way, in a sort of a tense way where you were just like, good God.
Yeah, I thought it was really good, but it was, as far as like competing, there's like the endurance ones like that are just so stupid, like hold your hand over your head or whatever, but at least in that, like, you know that as soon as the other person drops it, there's a chance of victory, right? But this one, it's like, how many times do they think this is impossible? That's a different form of like complete hopelessness.
Donovan, they were in front of a table, mm-hmm. and they were to build a pyramid of just normal balls, you know, pyramid of, which is hard, right? You know, you build it, they fall over. But the thing was, they were attached to the table. So when they walked away, the rope would spin the table. And so as soon as you set a ball up, it just spins it off. And I think the challenge lasted, 3 hours? Very close to 3 hours.
Over three, yeah.
Wow. Did you feel sorry for Monty? Having had to do this and not this, you know, we talk about, okay, we're glad you didn't get a physical elimination because you would have dominated. But Tyler, come on. Does he even need to be on the show?
No, I mean, they both, one of them, that was a good battle for a slot to remain on the season. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need both these guys.
And then Monty says, I'm a mechanical engineer. And then he can't quite get the mechanics of this because it involved him being slow and steady, too.
I mean, he seemed to make more progress faster, right? Like, mm-hmm. he understood, like, how to build the thing. It was just...
keeping it.
Ugh. miserable. Natalie, who you got out of the Tori for the first time talked game with people outside the challenge vets, or was shown doing that? You know, she has like her trio now of Michaela and two others.
And Desi.
Chanel. Who Chanel is like, I think we talked about this last week, that she's barely been on screen. Like this most recent episode, she had more lines than she's had all season.
She's going to win.
Yeah.
She's calling it. She's going to win this season.
That I wanted to ask, like, who do you think? Because I think the women's winner is coming out of those four.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be her. Yeah. I think everybody's afraid of her. And I think Tori, she may make it to the final. I don't think she can beat her. I think she'll get, especially if the final is going to be, I guess it depends on if they do pairs or if it's just singular. Tori winning last season, I think is kind of a fluke. I think she got really lucky with the people that were around her.
Hmm.
I think she's a finalist in almost any season she does, but I don't know that she's got a lot of wins in her.
She always has the votes, so she's a finalist. That's reasonable. What about the men?
It's going to be somebody dumb like Chris.
Chris is going home this week. That's my prediction.
That would be great.
Yeah, he's lame, but not dislikable. I guess that's the same way with Tyler, who I've complained about a lot in the last 2 weeks, but I don't know. Tyler's just like, bruh, dude.
You notice that some of the guys said, well, Tyler has finished last in every daily challenge, which they don't always show, like how, you know, it's apparent to them, maybe not who won every time, but they probably know who the worst person was.
Yep. All right.
Getting beat by Josh, that's a tough look.
Josh's game has improved. I'm gonna tell you that. It's nothing I want to say out loud, but I just did. Speaking of the worst, this worst podcast ever is going to wrap. It's so good to see my co-host once again. We're part of the Alabama Take podcast family. You can go to that site and find all kinds of things. I'm going to do a quick plug I haven't done. Subscribe to Adam's Substack, which is called...
Lord.
No, it's good. I thought it was kind of thoughtful. I was reading them the other day. I didn't know they existed until you posted on Instagram with a link, and I was like, what?
Well, I went public with it, you know. I've been working on
it. That's me from the Alabama Take at gmail.com. I don't know if you saw that subscriber.
I did. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Insightful stuff. He writes about his music and how those songs came to be. Fun stuff, you know, if you want the insight of, like, how's that song happen? How do you land on that line? I always like
it. How do you make compost? There's a lot of that, too.
Find Taking It Down, that's us, in almost any social media site with Taking It Down Pod. Yeah, and we're always on the Alabama Takes YouTube page. Since we're part of that podcast network, you can watch the video version of this show, or you can listen to the audio there or in any podcast app. Is that enough information? That's too much. Is that enough? Adam's burning something, so we got to let y'all go before he gets crazy. See everyone later.